cliffcentral.com.
Yo, I'm making short term goals when the weather falls. Yes, put away the leathers and put ice on the gold.
The Rock Boys are in the building tonight.
Yes, hold up.
It's Durban July. The Rock Boys are in the building tonight.
I keep telling you to hold up, man. What the hell?
I can't wait to make start it the show. Here,
you know what I mean?
You're
just like jumping in. But yeah, anyway.
Yes.
Yo, dope mix, man.
Dope mix.
That was all Mono BC, by the way. Well done, guy.
DJ Papercut
showing us that it can be done all the way from Kasi to the Burb. As you know, it's Black Life once again, baby.
Yeah.
What's up? Why did you stop the music, man?
It's Durban July, man. I'm excited.
It's Durban July.
Let's go.
Why are you excited about
Youth
Durban
Month,
July?
Durban July. When was Youth Month? In like Grin-Grin.
I'm not even going to Durban July. That's the saddest thing. You know what I'm saying?
Why aren't you going? Are you being a celebrity about it?
No, you know I've got a baby coming up, so you know I gotta be at home. You know.
Wait! I gotta hear this again. Why aren't you going to the Durban July?
My life is changing. It's no longer my own. I've been selfish and happy for too long, but I'm gonna be even happier now that I'm having a little girl. I look forward to it.
All your sins, you're getting a girl.
And I'm having a really great. I mean, just now, Norm Zamo was in the studio. I'm having a baby. I'm turning 40 this year, so I don't even have to go through a midlife crisis. Because think about it, right?
What?
I'm having a daughter, and I just had an affair with like one of South Africa's most beautiful women, Norm Zamo. She was in the studio just now. I mean, you know, the press wrote all about it. So I'm in a good space right now, man. I'm just doing my thing.
So tell me this.
What?
Tell me this,
what?
Right?
What?
Did you not get kicked out this time?
No, this time I didn't get kicked out. See, because like the wife was like cool with it because it was only a press affair. It was only like in the press.
They needed to make news and then.
Yeah, they made news, but it's good for my ego because now everywhere I go, I'm like, yo, what's that? I tapped that. Yeah. You know.
I hope you heard that.
Without any repercussion, I can even say it in front of my wife. Like, yeah, you know, I tapped that, baby. And she's like, yeah, I know, baby.
Okay.
No, she doesn't actually say that.
Okay.
No, we want the truth now.
Is that because that's the remixed version, you know?
I hope she doesn't listen to the show today. That'd be in a lot of trouble. But we got some exciting guests in the studio.
We're going to the July
with
Nomaganja.
Posh Life.
Nomaganja.
Posh Life.
Nomaganja.
Okay, we got two guys in the studio today that you would be very happy to hear from, and they're going to be talking to us. Victor Modiba is going to be talking to us about Posh Life and how you can go to the Durban July in style like never been seen before. We're talking like top billing, but like times that by 100,000 million.
Keep timesing.
Don't stop, infinite.
Exactly. And then of course we've got Senzo here with us. And Senzo,
no, not
Senzo,
not Mr. window Senzo, outside Mbeo. Senzo, you know.
No, not that Senzo.
Not Senzo with the father outside.
No, clearly not. Senzo.
Let's just get it out there right now.
This is the guy,
not that one,
who owns iStore. Okay, iStore. I thought maybe it was a Zulu way of saying like he owns a shop because he was saying I own a iStore.
No,
I was like what? Okay, why don't you say you own a store? No, iStore. Okay, fine. Whatever, dude. I mean, it's a Zulu thing. But it's actually an iStore, okay?
Yeah.
And also, he's...
Wait. Which iStore? Like, iStore is in iMac,
iStore, like Apple.
I want all those things. Apple reseller
no
in Palito.
How old are you?
In Palito, my guy. Not just in Durban. In Palito.
Ah. No way.
You have to put it out
no
there
way.
In Palito.
How old are you?
Hey, you're Lani, eh?
Turning 27.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's who's the Jew behind you? Who's
no
the Jew behind you?
Wait. Huh?
Who's the Jew behind?
Who's the Jew behind? Yo, hey, listen. I want to stay on the show, okay? When you speak like that, you know we're going to get fired.
No.
Like, really.
Bella, behind
crossing,
every successful 26-year-old. Let's
bring it in.
Black 26-year-old.
Yeah, is a Jew.
Or an Indian.
No.
Forbes,
where's your Indian?
Huh?
You don't have an Indian, that's why.
No,
you don't have an
Jew.
Indian.
I've got a Jew
and an Indian. Yeah. I made sure that my stuff is together.
Okay.
I got both. What do you got? What do you got, Victor?
I don't
do you
have anything.
You don't have a...
Door.
No, but you are a baby guy.
Posh.
You're from Limpopo. You know, Victor's from Limpopo. He doesn't need anybody.
Broom,
it comes. It comes with the broom. Lightning through the falls. That's all he tells the people when he's doing a deal. Listen, do you want lightning or not? But here's the thing, right? That's amazing. Both these guys...
I'll get it to you now.
You want lightning or not?
Just sign the contract. Sign the deal. Yo, I'm calling Kuku. I'm calling Kuku Mulebo. No, don't call Kuku Mulebo. So, okay. amazing thing about these young guys, okay, is that not only, you know, we're talking about Posh Life and we're talking about the iStore, but that's not all they actually do. Right. I mean, Senzo is very much involved with renewable energy, with the green energy. He's a mogul on top of, like, being able to hook you up with a nice new iPhone. And Victor, apart from, you know, getting you to Durban July on a private jet, and, you know, chauffeur.
Blah, blah, blah.
He is also like a world famous architect, and he's in construction.
No way.
And not only that, you know our show, Saints and Sinners. You know, I do this acting thing, you know, in South Africa.
Hey, must always come into the picture. I'm just trying to
give the guy a big up. So my character apparently drives like Mercedes only. You know, it has, but we didn't have the money, the budget for a decent Mercedes, so we had to borrow. And fortunately, Victor came to our rescue, and my character now drives a CLS 63 AMG. Let me tell you what, net Porsche life. If it wasn't for this guy, my character would have been driving. Maybe, I don't even think it was a C-Class. You'd be driving like, you know, those 1990s E-Classes that our parents had. Yeah, and then we'd have to dress it up. But thanks for coming through. So guys, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Victor. Durban July, what's happening with Porsche life? What's that all about?
Listen, Posh Life is about changing the rules, literally, because people go to Durban July, it's the same thing every year, and people spend so much money, you'd rather spend that money getting an experience of a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? In short, this is what I'm saying. We know you're going to fly, we know you're going to need a chauffeur, driven... you're going to need transport.
Yeah.
We know you're going to need a place to sleep.
Yeah.
We know you need a marquee. You need parties. It's a weekend. But do it in style.
Do it in style. Do it Posh Life way.
You know?
Can I just play them this ad for Posh Life, by the way? Here it comes.
Yeah, let's plug it. Let's plug it.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Let's do it.
I present the 2015 Durban July Experience. Fly in on your own private jet. Be chauffeur driven all weekend. Take it easy in your suit, pets, and body. Be part of the fashionable few and enjoy a yacht party with us on Sunday. Posh Life.
Okay, I didn't hear anything about Posh Life there.
We gotta like find another one. That was odd. But nonetheless, we'll find another ad that we can.
Make sure your pop.
Nice. No, your pop. Your pop. No, your pop.
I think I know the guy in the voiceover.
No, your pop. Can we get back to? Okay, so basically, Porsche Life, from what I've seen on the social media and everything else, is you get a chance to experience the Durban July like never before. You get to fly in a private jet. Yep. It's not just like first class or business class. It's actually private jet.
You're on your own.
You're
having a party.
You land in Durban.
And you get picked up on the tarmac.
With a limousine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Get taken to Zimbali. We all know Zimbali is one of the best.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, Senzo's there.
Just
like,
there.
Walk
in, grab a cable.
Grab a phone. That's where he lives. That's where he has breakfast.
Exactly. I'm sure he's got like 3 properties in Zimbali.
No.
Well, you know. He's signing on the 3rd as we speak, so we can't really say that yet. We don't want a boo situation.
No.
I don't.
Hey, okay. He was here today, so
he
no.
Was here today. I don't want to mess with boo. Yo, boo kick somebody's ass. But anyway, and then from there, like, what's the experience like once you get to the Durban July? Like, the marquee?
Look, it's combined. Most people would get to the marquee, and they don't have a place to go and party, because marquees are usually offered as just the marquee. This is a package that includes a pre-party on Friday, because we know people get there on Friday, they don't know where to go.
You want to have a full weekend.
You want to have a party. Full weekend.
You want to party until you pass out.
Exactly. And gain VIP all the way.
All right.
Driven around red carpet into this in Gateway. This is not your area.
No.
Okay.
It's next to
Banito. It's close, man.
Gateway.
It's close. 10 minutes away.
Saint-Tin Rivonia.
Yeah.
Same thing, man.
So the pre-party will happen at Barrio. Exclusive 250 people, not more than that.
Nice.
Lounging and everything. The Saturday, there's a makeup session at the hotel.
Okay.
Before, for the ladies. I mean, we don't got to look
and
proper.
And the guys, you know, nowadays,
gotta
guys
look
can
proper.
Also
we don't want people running around in malls and looking for...
No. Not when you've flown business. I mean,
no.
In your own private jet.
You know what I mean?
Are you at Gateway asking people, hey, where can I find someone? Where's the Mac shop?
Exactly.
No, can't have that.
At the marquee itself, marquee is called Chase Lounge.
Okay.
Won a couple of awards for the best decorated.
That's where Monabisi always goes. Monabisi, isn't that like your lounge when you're in...
No, I don't crack Chase.
You don't crack
Chase. No.
You're missing out, believe me.
Really, eh?
Too much.
We'll hook you up.
We'll hook you up.
Come
over.
Yeah. You can have my key.
At the Marquee, we've got McCallum as one of the sponsors. We've got, I think, Aiso Spades. Mm. We've got sushi bars. We've got massage. Little massage. Yeah. Oh.
With a happy ending. No. No. Okay.
Come on. Only Tumisho would go. He hasn't gotten anything in a while, so you have to excuse him.
We're flying on a private jet. We want to go all the way in this life. You know what I'm saying? With everything. We're going all the way.
Okay, it's a happy ending, but not that kind of happy ending. You were happy at the end of the day.
No, just ignore Tumisha. Don't worry. All right.
We've got a cigar lounge. We've got sort of a whiskey workshop type of thing where you're going to be taught how to drink whiskey and how to pair it and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
Again, makeup touch-up at the Marquee. But right. During the day, people start... looking very...
It's starting to get sweaty.
Yeah.
And shiny, as
yeah.
we call it. You don't
so
want the lady looking
you gotta,
shiny.
You've got to refresh people. You've got to make them look good. The Marquee does that. And then after the Marquee, we've got an after party at the pier.
Okay.
No ways.
And then... What do you mean, no ways?
I'm like in heaven already. I'm in Durban. I'll catch you guys in Durban already.
Because we want to be floating. We don't want to be just anywhere. You know,
right.
This is on the Saturday night.
That's Saturday night after the
make
the
sure
Marquee.
You're speaking to your mic.
Oh, yeah. I forget this thing. And the Sunday, we've got a yacht party.
Okay.
From 3 to
so, 5. Like, I'm, you know, Palisa's here, and I'm thinking this year, you know, I said I wasn't going, but I'm thinking of going. You know, can I bring my Makwapeni? No. What happens at the July? Stays at the July.
Yeah,
Palisa,
no.
We're going, baby.
Returning Devon July into Las Vegas.
Yeah!
We'll be there.
He said it.
And all four guys in the room, I noticed this ring, so they're all married. Huh?
Yeah, you know this. You know, yeah, Senzo, but Senzo, are you going to be there? Are you going to be at the Durban July this year, my guy?
It's a maybe at the moment.
Actually, oh, I need people like Senzo.
You're also on lockdown.
People like got money. I need to sit him down, actually.
Yeah,
Senzo's
yeah,
on lockdown.
Yeah.
Senzo's like, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
too many Joburg trips, eh?
So that weekend, you're just going to be at home watching the Durban July on TV like me.
Yeah, I think there's something cool on Disney Channel.
Oh, with the kids. Have you got kids?
Yeah, two.
Two?
Yes, Papa.
At 26?
Yeah, well, Papa.
87.
Hey! And Tumisho is like 100 years old and he hasn't even got one.
It's funny you should
not
say that.
One.
Wait. I was
not
actually,
one!
This we
morning,
don't know.
This morning I was reading Genesis, you know, in the part where they're talking about, you know, like
in the
Adam
beginning, there
lived
was
until 930, he had a child at like 100, and then like Methuselah had a child, then he lived until 965, and then Noah, you know, all these guys, like Noah had his first kid at 300. I'm like, I started too soon.
What were you doing?
You know what I'm saying? Because these guys were living like till night. Oh, but
they're father of nations. Yeah. Well, nah, Father of Mamelodi.
The guys who start latest are always the guys who are going to have the most children later.
Come
on, I'm they're going to name
you
a
better
town.
Ice your stuff.
They're going to name a township after me because that's how many kids I'm going to have.
You better ice your stuff. Freeze your sperm. Because Zozi ain't going nowhere.
She's going to be right there with me.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
the Sunday, the yacht party.
The yacht party.
I know it doesn't end there.
What do you mean it doesn't end there? It's Sunday.
Like, it's Sunday. Go home. Go to church.
No, man. We come back from the cruise. We dock. And the party goes on until everybody drops.
Yeah. Clearly, people aren't going to work, man.
No. This is why. No. Because
the party goes on until people...
Don't get it twisted.
The party goes on until people get divorced.
Yeah, man.
It's you who created that.
Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, like, this is not the only thing that you do, Victor. Like, in terms of how did you become an architect? Maybe it's a stupid question. Like, you went to varsity, right? You studied it. It's not like you woke up one day and you thought, you knew an architect, you found them on Instagram, and you're like,
I'm fine.
Hook me up.
Besides, I'm from Limpopo, my man.
Oh, you only said, like, I'm changing.
No, you
said lightning.
No, you didn't.
So, but how did you make it happen? I mean, like, I think a lot of people would like to know, like, if I want to be an architect, what are the first steps? You don't just because you know how to draw and you drew at school doesn't mean you're an architect.
I don't know. Maybe... it had to do with the fact that my father was a contractor already.
Okay.
So the industry was, I was exposed to the industry already. Whenever we go to his sites, I would meet these guys. And it would always be fascinating to me that, what is it, you know, the kind of the work that kind of, the kind of work that they do. And would sit with them once in a while and hear what, how they got to be, and that's where the inspiration started. And it, this was at a very early age, and you, when it's something that you really love and something that you, I guess, destined to do, it's natural. I knew it from then on that I wanted to be. And I think people that shouldn't just say somebody's an architect, I want to be an architect. It needs to be something that you're passionate about.
Of course.
And I think I am.
What's your biggest passion about what you do? I mean, you design homes, you design buildings and that sort of thing. And what's your biggest passion about design?
And you're creating homes. You're creating where people come and rest. And this is like a haven for them. There's a whole emotion behind designing living spaces. That's what I'm passionate about.
Okay, and who are some of your favorite architects in history? Who are the people you go, wow, I want to be
no,
like
man,
that guy.
Don't do this, you know, to me.
Abo, you know, I'm trying to remember famous names here that I studied at art school.
Picasso.
Picasso wasn't an architect.
He was.
And you know, the Leaning Tower of Pizza was not always leaning.
You know, I'm going to be a bit controversial.
Please.
Are you know, please. For you, is it the Gothic style or the French Nouveau?
Here's the thing, and I'm going to be like maybe a darky about this.
Are you
going to
be petty about this? Okay, yeah, tell us.
I don't necessarily have an international famous.
No, but that's cool though. You don't have to.
You know why? Because I'm in Africa, and in Africa there isn't what is called architecture.
Yeah.
Right now, there's nothing that you can say this is African architecture.
Is it really? Because I think that, like, you know, all these new estates that are coming up are saying we don't want Tuscan anymore. You know, we want contemporary South African, and you're like, what the hell is that?
Exactly.
Or they go, and what do they call the barn something, farmhouse?
There's Bali, there's
yeah, you know, whatever, yeah. You know. And I'm like, what is a South African like flavor to this? Are we creating it?
That's
maybe
the thing.
Maybe that's the thing, and that's exciting.
That's what I'm saying.
We are creating.
We start. Although there is, according to the history, there isn't. There is actually African architecture, but when you look at it,
we're not talking about like Dutch.
No, okay. We're talking, it's because the history only covers what used to be at the beginning, which is huts and things and whatnot. And whatever that came afterwards was never recorded.
Yes.
So it's. I think it's up to us, South African architects now, it's our responsibility to sort of start creating the history.
Okay.
Of what is South African architecture,
but then,
or African architecture.
If you speak like that, then I suppose you've looked at other versions of what Africans have done. Like, for example, in Zimbabwe, they have, you know, the whole city that was made out of stone.
African architecture will have to be something that he does, something that is green, something that is built out of the earth, something that lives the earth, if I can call it.
Okay.
If you think about Africa as a motherland, calling Africa as the motherland,
that's because we're all born in Africa.
About Africa as the motherland,
Chinese,
South Africa,
Indian.
If we're talking South African architecture, we're supposed to be talking about architecture that is responsible, architecture that engages with its nature.
All right.
Nature. Those are the kind of words that you should be talking about when you're talking about architecture in Africa.
Okay. And I see you're a very stylish guy. So we're going to talk style tips for the Durban July. Help us here with some style tips. See, they say a handmade tailored suit and shirt will cost the same as a designer label, but will look so much better. I know, because, I mean, like, some of these suits that they're selling at some of these designer labels are just ridiculous. And they look like they're off the rack. They look like the suit that you wear to go to a funeral for a relative you didn't even like. What are you wearing to the Durban July?
Man, I get my stuff done.
Oh yeah, who's your guy who does your stuff?
Yeah, we want to know.
Unowa.
Unowa. Unowa. We want to know who's that guy.
Linda Makanya.
The famous Linda Makhanya.
Okay. Linda Makhanya. Yeah.
Okay. I shall look alike, Linda Makhanya.
Okay. Hey, LK.
LK. Linda is a stylish guy. You're right. I'm sorry, Linda.
For me, it's not about the brand or the. It has to fit you. That's the first thing. It has to fit you. And most of us don't know what is good for us. So get someone who understands.
Who understands shape, and like can dress you whatever shape you know, you are, the best.
And I believe me, what I'm wearing now, maybe the shoes, okay.
We'll take a picture and.
No, don't take
it. No, the ladies want to see. Can we take a picture?
Everything that I'm wearing.
Can you take a picture on that iPhone 6 Plus?
There's no like brand or anything. It's just a properly done. Jacket and pants and fitting and everything.
But it looks better than something that you might have bought off the rack that was a major designer label.
Yeah.
Well, they say here, if you're going to choose shades, especially for the Durban July, you know you got to wear shades all day and well into the night because that's how you roll at the Durban July. Mm-hmm. If you have a round face shape, then the width and length of your face are roughly the same. The best sunglasses for you are wayfarers or square frames because angular lines will balance your round face and give you definition. If you have an oval face, then wayfarers, round, rectangles, you name it. Anything goes. The only common component is that the glasses should be the same width as your face. Don't buy those ones that are too wide.
You look like a guy.
Big head.
Yeah, you look like you are an alien. A square face shape is characterized by a strong jawline and a broad forehead, like me. Square frame balances a round face. Round frames will balance out a square shape. What are you, Monami? Are you round? Are you oval? Are you square?
I'm just
How
right.
do you measure it, though?
A wider forehead and a significantly narrower chin are the traits of a heart. You're heart-shaped.
Yeah?
You're heart-shaped.
Yeah, no.
You're heart-shaped.
Yeah.
You've got a wider
All
forehead
we want is love.
And
All
a significantly
you need is
narrower
love.
Chin. Here, you'll want to actually mimic your face shape. So, aviators are a perfect choice. And I've noticed you like those aviators.
No,
teardrop shape will draw attention to the front.
He's moved on from
those. And broaden the lower.
Look here.
Large sunglasses will overwhelm your face.
Yeah.
What shape is that, my man?
Hey.
What shape is that?
This is Italian handmade.
Yeah, but what shape?
We're asking. Called super.
What shape?
What do you mean? What shape? It's the shape of my face.
There's wayfarers. There is
aviators. I don't label mine. I can't label mine.
It's not a label. It's
I think it's the wayfarers.
It's wayfarers. He just doesn't know. It's okay.
No.
Just
don't
box
me. Don't box me. Shout out to the optician, by the way. Don't box me.
Okay. Sharp. No.
Italian handmade.
You want to give a shout out to the guys who gave you your shades for free? Let's do it quickly.
Wow. Hey, you're finishing my mandla. Yes. You're finishing me.
I'm finishing your mandla.
Yeah.
No, but those are super dope shades. So where can I get them?
Wait, Kaya on Cliff Central says, ooh, very nice mashup, guys. So,
Why are you reading this?
I'm reading off the screen. Can you not see? There's people who are actually hollering at us.
Hey, bud.
I see that. Yeah. Oh, Kaya, how are you doing?
Hey, Kaya. So,
I'm getting older. I need my glasses.
Yeah. So these I actually got from optician in Parkhurst.
Like the other ones that you got, the ones that
those are reading Ray-Bans. Glasses. No.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I got those from optician as well.
Oh, so you have like is there a lens in there?
Not on this one.
Not a lens.
No.
Because you don't need a lens.
No,
right?
I don't need a lens for this.
Okay.
One. Yeah.
All right.
When
cool.
I read or I'm in front of a laptop, then I need my lens.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
They're dope though. You look
Thank
like
you.
A little Malcolm X-ish.
Yeah.
You look like Malcolm you're about X. to start
fighting,
some sort of a revolution.
How about you say I look like
but, sort of like a Chico style.
No, Malcolm X was dope.
I was liking you though. You know, I was going with you to the July. You know?
Dude,
you're gonna make my
there is no higher compliment than someone saying you look like Malcolm X.
No. For you maybe.
No, who do you wanna look like? Who do you wanna look like?
Why can't you say Holy Sasha or you know
We never saw him in shades.
Yes you did.
Well, the one time that they took a picture of him in prison, that's when we saw Uma Diba in shades.
Yeah, but Long Walk of Freedom, you were
wearing wayfarers. He was wearing wayfarers.
Yeah.
No, he was in Long Walk. I didn't see that movie. I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Oh, okay, not the one you acted in.
That was Mandela's Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When is that coming out? By the way,
it's People never.
Ask me that.
They don't have budget for it. They're broke.
Yeah, we are broke. We spent all the
it's
money.
In the books.
We
it's
spent
the
all
books.
The money on what you guys are going to see. We spent it
and
on
we're
the
still
screen.
Trying to see it.
Okay. Not one penny was spent on my trailer, because Lord knows I didn't have a decent trailer for that. We didn't have that kind of money to waste.
We're still waiting, Papa. We want to see.
Wait, let's talk to Senzo for a bit. Senzo, so my guy, I mean, Victor was telling us about responsible architecture. You were telling me the other day that I could actually get my whole house done. Like, I'd never have to be on the grid again. How does that whole thing work, and what is it all about? What's the name of your company, first of all?
Yeah, let's send a shout out.
Okay, so Plug. The name of the shop is called iBar.
Yeah, we're going to get to the iStore, but now we're talking about your...
The energy.
Let's talk about massive his energy. Entire empire.
Oh, hey, let's talk about the entire empire. Right now,
we're starting with energy. Empire? What?
It's so important to talk about the energy side, because once then we get to the iStore, now we know how we're going to plug it up. So let's start there first.
Yeah. It's called Massive Energy.
Massive Energy.
Yeah, Massive Energy with the three. Number three. So basically, getting back to what you were saying, how do we get the home off the grid?
Yeah.
So basically... It's using a couple of factors. So one being is getting solar panels. So our guys are equipped. They will come do a solar roofing. That's if, again, your roof supports it, because some homes actually can't support the roof, or you need to restructure it, which goes back to him. But if
this
they do,
doing the whole roof.
Yeah,
so between the two,
two of you, you'll talk to each other and just make it happen.
No, something will happen definitely. Okay. So we get the roofing done, and then we follow a process where we get inverters in, and then we get batteries in as well. Okay. So what it does is that in a typical day, your greatest consumption of solar, the sun, is done between your 10 and about 3 o'clock. That's like the best time you can capture sun. So with solar panels up, you can capture almost enough to get you by for the day. And then in some cases you get more, and then that's when you need the batteries, because now the batteries will basically back it up. I remember the other day when we were talking about it, I was telling you can get batteries that would last you for a week even. It's just depending on how big your wallet is. Okay. So what it does is you capture the energy from solar that gets saved into the batteries, and then you can run that in the event where, because not every day is a sunny day. Yeah. So in those cases, then you run off the batteries.
All right. Yeah. And the batteries apparently are with a hydrogen cell.
Yeah. Okay. So there's...
I hope I said that right.
Almost.
Hydrogen lithium cell battery.
Hydrogen fuel cell.
Hydrogen fuel cell. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Close.
It's on my mother's tongue.
Okay. So the hydrogen fuel cell is because firstly, you get many types of batteries. Let's just be clear on that. But then your hydrogen is one where you would probably need to change it once a month. Oh. And then you also get electrical ones, which means those would be like a UPS, which means that charges. So the time you get solar energy coming in, that charges and that releases it back to your system. So you get a different one. Those are lithium batteries, but it's a different type of lithium, which is it's almost like your cell phone battery on steroids, basically, if you can call it that. And then moreover, you also get... what would be your other one? And well, in a UPS, basically, then you'll have the diesel generators. That's about it.
All right. You're losing me personally because you're talking big terms here. But what made you get into that sort of thing? I mean, a lot of people, when they go into fuel or any sort of energy, they go into either diesel or they go into gas or coal. You went and you did something that's futuristic and that's future proof as well. Because hopefully we'll always have sunshine.
Yeah.
We don't destroy the earth.
And we're all going there anyway.
And we're all going there. We have to, right? Yeah. But what made you decide to go there? I mean, as a young man yourself, could have done any sort of business.
True. But I think the grounding sort of came from the IT side. I think I've got probably now maybe 9 years under the belt in terms of IT. And then with that, they've been making large breakthroughs in terms of batteries. And then we started researching the battery situation. So the batteries are getting more advanced. They charge faster. They can last much longer. And then it started getting me thinking, if we're having these issues with power cuts, your logical solution is a battery. But now, if you're going to worry about Eskom giving you the power, and then when they don't give you the power, then what you're going to use to charge the battery, which basically led to us now looking at other solutions. And then we saw solar. And then solar is it's been there since the beginning of time. It's not as if it's a new thing.
Yes.
The only reason why it's picking up now as a trend is because the panels have become cheaper.
Mm.
So previously, anyone could tell you, oh man, you can get your house off solar, but you just need to have a bar sitting in the pocket. And someone was like,
$1 million, dude. That's like some people's, like, that's like the whole house.
Mm. True. But now the costs have gone down. I mean, when we were talking the other day, I told you that you could probably get away now with under 300K. You could have a solution that's battery orientated, which means as long as you've got power, you charge the batteries, Eskom cuts you out, you don't even feel the cuts, UPS kicks in. And then if you're willing to expand a bit more, all dependent, again, it's all based on how much electricity your house consumes. Typical home is about 7 to 10 kVA. And obviously, depending on how much you want to cater for, then you can put up panels, because a single panel would generate probably 25% of that.
Okay. And so if you get like 4 or 5 panels, you're basically off the grid. You're doing your own thing.
Not necessarily. It's all about working the equation. So you need to determine if you look at your utility bill at the end of the month, you find out how much electricity you're using, and then from there we need to do efficiency calculations.
Okay.
And then those calculations will determine how many panels you need. For instance, a plant in Durban installed about 1,200 panels, and then they're able to run, and this is an industrial factory, the main plant. Now they're able to run lighting, air conditioning just off the panels. So they're saving about a bar every year now.
All right.
On the utility bills.
Well, I'll be talking to you guys soon, because I'm looking at staying city as my next, you know, place for the house.
In fact, there's an office that is looking for that kind of solution. So,
like I said,
how you do business.
That's how you do business.
Talk. Get on to Black Life. Black Life.
And, let's then, go. You know, that's how we must do, though. That's how we must do.
True.
Monabis, you've been awful quiet.
No, I'm quiet because I'm listening. Let's go to East Oyak.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your background? What's your background? Where are you from? Like, how did you get into this?
Okay.
Two kids? Were you being naughty? Like, what the hell? Like, where were you, man?
Danny, let me give
you the intro. So, born in Durban, and then I think we moved at about, I think I was still like 3 or 4.
Right.
I moved to rural KZN, Mduba Duba.
Okay.
And then grew up there, went to school in Mpangeni High School.
Okay.
And then immediately after high school, I just left for Cape Town. And from Cape Town, that's where everything started. Did my first year at CPUT, didn't finish, unfortunately.
Okay. What did you study?
At the IT.
Okay.
Yeah, but at the time, I had already been working 3 years at an ice store in Waterfront.
Okay.
So I think
from working clashes at the iStore to, like, you know, owning one and get my own.
No, man, no, man, no. This literally, when I got there, it's okay. I can guess sometimes it's
just tell us a story.
Yeah, it's having balls, basically, to say it. So what I did is I told them basically that
where to get off.
Not exactly so where to get off.
You're gonna work for me.
Yeah.
No, look. Firstly, I was headhunted by them. I didn't approach them. A friend of mine said, told them that, hey, you need to look at this guy. And then they brought me in. I wrote an exam. I think I got about 97%.
Okay.
Like, come in. And then I went in. I think I did 3 months doing sales. Then I was a technician from there after. And then I told them, I want to be in charge of the guys that are in charge of technicians. And then they said, the room to grow is about this high, and you about reached it already.
Sure.
And then me and a friend of mine was already working there. Martin is in Canada at the moment. We said, let's start our own company. So I think my first company, I was 18, 17?
Yes. Yeah. Jesus.
Wow.
I'm speechless right now. I said, Victor is also like, yo, where was this ninja when I was growing up, you know?
I was like, what am I wearing to my matric dance?
You were hectic.
That was about it. Hey. Who am I taking to my matric dance? I can't believe my friend has stolen my dance again. I got to find a new one. That's what I was, those were uppermost on my mind when I was at.
Yeah. So then you got to that stage where you were like, okay, so I want to be heading the technician. And then what happened in that period?
In that period, we had already had like a very good relationship with our customers.
Right.
So what happened was, the time that I told them that I want to grow up, and then they obviously said the room is this. I spoke to a friend of mine. I said, look, I don't know where you see yourself, but I see myself slightly a bit bigger than what they're offering here.
Right.
He said, yeah, I feel the same thing. You know, there's limits. And I'm not judging.
No, speak
business.
It. Speak.
Okay, well, I'm not judging the ice store, but I feel like there's limitations, you know. It's not as if the guys can't help you, but there's such barriers that they can't get through.
Right.
So we wanted to break that. For instance, if I felt like, do me a show, let me help you after hours with your computer, because we're not given the enough time, you know.
Right.
30 minutes, an hour, next on to the next one.
Right,
so,
right, right.
So we wanted to give back some more, and then
it's about service.
Yeah, it's about service delivery. Yeah. You know, that's what we wanted to improve on, and obviously they didn't see that bigger picture.
Right.
And then we started doing our own thing, and then literally, we didn't strive for business. Like, we got out, and then we started getting clients, because clients were like, "Yo, where are those guys?" We even had I think this was back in 2009 or 2008. We had a customer that flew us to London just to set up his practice. That's the relationship we had with our customers.
That's how you rolled.
Jeez. So you owned that store basically before you even owned it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. True. Yeah. Basically, because the relationships. It's. I think we just had good relationships and the guys enjoyed working with. I think we were young. I mean, we're.
And you love what you were doing at the end of the day, right?
No, passion yeah. is key. Passion is
but
key.
Here's the thing that I wanted to ask you as well. First of all, is your store an iStore? Is it called? It's called the Fundi store.
Okay, so prior to renaming to iBar, and I'll explain why we renamed it to iBar, it was called Fundi store. Now Fundi store was a brand that obviously we started, and then later to grow the brand, because now we're looking at opening up, I think, three more stores at the end of the year. What we did is we went into a partnership, and then in going into a partnership, obviously
with who?
A gentleman by the name of Kenny Costens.
Okay.
Yeah, so we went
for a second there. I thought you were going to say Kenny Gunani.
No. Like, what? This interview is over.
But then
like,
the guy's a good businessman, isn't he?
He is, though. Yeah. I thought maybe that's why he was a bit reluctant, because he was like, Kenny.
Kenny, no, this interview is just about to end.
No, but Kenny is a good businessman. Like, okay, maybe not, though, because he lost the czar. Like, that didn't work out.
What is losing have to do with being a good businessman?
No, I mean, obviously, as a businessman,
it's got everything to do.
You're going to go up and down, right?
You can lose everything, but it's about how you get up.
So what are you doing now?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You see, this is where I differ, guys.
Apart from telling us who he slept with in the past 10 years.
We're having a debate here.
Okay.
Okay, we're about to start one.
Let's start one.
Why must you lose something and then, because you're going to do it again, be called an entrepreneur or whatever you want to call it, a businessman?
But I think
this is where I disagree.
No,
with
but that comes with
you
the territory.
You can't, as an architect, tell me that you're trying a business and then you failed. Like, for me, then the calculations you did were wrong.
No. You're gonna jump in first, though.
Yeah, come on, jump in first.
No, we're having a debate now.
Gloves are off. Let's go.
Okay, I feel like given the right opportunities, anyone can get into a business. Hence is why, if you look at people that are given family owned businesses, it's easy for them to keep doing it for maybe the next 5 years and the next 10 years.
Right.
But forbid something goes wrong and then they lose it all. I believe that's where you see that person is a true entrepreneur.
Yes.
Because you need, I've always told myself this, or I tell myself at the back of my head, that if I was to wake up tomorrow, all of it is gone. No renewable energy deals, no iBar. What to do? I know exactly where to go, because you know
what do you mean? You're saying no.
On radio, man. No.
This man was concerned. What do you mean?
If I was in a situation where I had to start again, like this whole acting thing didn't work out,
sure,
would I have the balls to actually do what I needed to do?
No, you don't. You'd be broke.
Thanks, Monabisi. You're not even on mic with that.
No,
but I definitely would. I would do whatever
that's
it takes.
That's it.
If I have to be a janitor, I would be a janitor.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I have to sell my queen,
don't lie to our listeners, please. Don't lie to our listeners.
Telling you,
why would you be a janitor? For what?
Because I'm very good at cleaning, actually.
Don't lie.
I'm a very good cleaner.
You're very good at cooking.
The one thing I would do is, I always say to my wife, I don't mind, I'll be a waiter once again. Because I think I'm, you know, waitering is one way to start a great business, because you get to talk to people, influential people. And the way you serve people, is a great advertisement of the kind of business partner you can be to them.
Yeah.
So it's one of the greatest opportunities. And I never understand when people are waiters and they like give you crap service and they're sour, because you never know what could come out of that one encounter. You are encountering kings and princes and princesses and queens. And the best thing you can do is offer them the best service possible, because that is your calling card. That's like, if I can do this as a waiter, imagine what I can do if I was in your business.
I suppose that's his story then. So who funded this whole thing? So it's
because it's all about funding at the end.
Like,
of it.
Let's drop it down. You know, let's break it
down.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask you the same thing as well.
By the way, you opened, Victor, you coming?
Who funded you guys? Because the thing is, a lot of entrepreneurs, especially black entrepreneurs, always say we don't get the funding, and that's the toughest thing to get. Who funded you, Senzo?
We don't get the funding. We don't get the funding.
Literally
it's literally hustling for it. At some time in point, I was operating from my flat. That's where I used to do. I'll tell customers to come in, and especially for the Apple side, I'll tell them to come in, and I'll meet them in restaurants, because you need to build that capital. But what happened with me was I had a bit of I'd say some help from a friend of mine, Ukanyisa Nishandu. So he said, okay, you know what?
Did he have money?
Yeah, he still does. No, he still does. So he said through a mutual friend, it's like, look, you're trying to grow fast. Look, you can obviously go the banking route. The problem is time. And with our business, you need funds available immediately. Okay. So, I mean, I met this guy the night before, introduced by a friend of mine. And next morning, 7 a.m., funds were in the account.
Wow.
And then and what was the cost of those funds, though?
So how much did he give you to set up?
He set me up about 250k.
Okay, and the cost of that, in terms of what did he own a piece of your business, or did he just want
no 250k? What we did was we had a shake deal where we said 250k, you'll have it back within a year. If you don't have it back, then I'll give you 10% of the business.
Wow.
And then he had it back within 6-8 months.
But you just gave him his money, like, clean? You didn't give him anything extra on top?
No. I gave him extra on top. Gave him extra on top.
So what's a good percentage? So he gave you 250. What did you return?
Close to 300K.
Okay. I think for me that, you know, that's important to talk about. Big ups to you, actually, for doing that. But also big up to him, because every single successful entrepreneurial nation, that's how they do business. People don't go to banks. Mm. I mean, I heard it from a friend of mine that in LA, for example, if you're Jewish and you arrive in LA and somebody knows you and they can vouch for you at the synagogue, they will literally say, I can vouch for Victor. Mm. He's a good guy. In the meantime, though, he's like, he's just arrived. He's got nowhere to go. Mm. So how much do you need, Victor, to keep you going? And everyone, they'll have a separate call for offering for just Victor. So we'll all put in, you know, him, Victor, and his wife and family will not have to go without. We'll put in 100,000 every month, 200,000 rands, whatever you're used to. And then we'll even say on top of that, what is your dream? And within 6 months, we will give you your dream, go and work, and then when you're done, do the same.
I feel that's what we lack, though, as the black culture.
If I could
say that.
Yeah, it's true. You know, this week, obviously, we now opening the restaurants up, and I went to a financier, but this is not a bank. This is an investor, but he owns his own franchise, right? I'm not going to mention his name because it's still quite sensitive at the moment. Okay. But this guy says he just opened up a restaurant, and he's opening it up for a family member. So it actually belongs to the head office. But he's now, they're teaching him how to run this business for 3 months. And then after 3 months, this business is going to belong to him.
Wow.
What?
Huh?
I'm sorry, but
I go around with money, and this guy, they're setting this guy up. They're saying, look, we'll study, we'll teach you.
Hold up. Can I ask a question?
We'll teach you. And this is, the setup is not just a million rand. This is probably a 6 to 7 million rand setup.
But why is it that if we do that as black people, someone will shout from these other, and I must say it, from the people who are doing it themselves, okay? They're doing it and it's fine.
Yeah.
But when we do it as black people, suddenly nepotism, BE, whatever. And it's like affirmative action is not allowed. You can't do business like that. Mm. But these guys, this is how they do business all the time. Mm. Why do we fall into the trap of listening then? When that's how every other nation does business.
I think Victor should shed some light on that. Like, what's been your experience? Let's go there.
For me, I operated my business for 3 years from a salary. I'd go to work, come back and do another shift at home.
And until I was able to secure a 3-year contract.
Right.
I was able.
Is this now architecture or event stuff?
No, just architecture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Only when I got a 3-year contract to manage capital projects for a client, for an employer that I used to work for.
Right.
I was able to say to work life, this is it. I can now open an office and have staff.
Right. But how long did you work for before you started your own practice?
3. No. I started working, 8 years.
Oh, okay. But the 3 years in the wilderness 3 years period.
Mm. I started the company.
Your company.
And it operated for 3 years with clients and everything. But it wasn't enough for me to say, I can...
You have a company.
I've got a company. Business. I can have staff. I can... Yeah. It had to be me alone. I had to be... whenever a client pays,
the accountant,
you buy the software. Whenever a client pays, you buy this. Mm. So
and the breakthrough for you was a contract, which is I think also another thing that a lot of black businesses suffer from.
And this is a contract from a former employer, which was something you don't necessarily get that often.
Yeah,
it was something that happens. I don't know. Once in a lifetime that at that particular time. The opportunity was there for me to say, listen, what I've been doing for you, let me take it out and do it as an outsourced service.
Mm. Right.
That was the only reason I was able to start. And also go to Anglo Zimele and say, listen, here's a contract. Can you give me money? Because I'm going to get this money.
Right.
Give me 300,000. I need to get an office. I need to get this. I need to get this.
So the Zimele guys stood up for you and they vouched?
They gave me money. They gave me 300,000.
Mm. And how long ago was this?
This is 2008.
So it's a minute ago, eh?
It's not a long time ago.
Sure.
But it's almost 8 years ago.
And so were you supposed... Was that a grant?
No, this was a loan. It's a low interest. I can't even remember what the interest was.
Well, they wanted their money back at the end of the day.
Yeah, you paid back every month.
You paid it back now?
Fully paid. I think I paid it within a year, if I'm not mistaken.
What? Yeah. You guys are on steroids.
No.
Huh?
So that's how difficult it is. I mean, when people see you saying, I've got, they think, another tender. Another
BE situation.
But I want to ask the question, what's wrong with tenders? I mean, somebody's got to win it. Who's got, like...
There's nothing wrong with a tender.
Right. There's absolutely nothing wrong.
Absolutely
and actually,
nothing
wrong. I think the people who say those things are trying to steer our minds away and our faces away from the tender. Because... they know that if we keep getting the tenders, we'll also get our economic and our financial
house in order. I see nothing wrong with tenders.
No, the thing is, people will say it as if it's a bad thing to get a tender. I mean, the word tenderpreneur now is
dude, look, Santam, Sanlam, Old Mutual, Volkskas, which is now Absa, were all tenders in 1930-something, okay? Every successful and large Afrikaans business that is up and running now in the 2015 was started as a tender in the old National Party apartheid days. Mm. Say what you like, I can prove it now. Call me if you like.
Yo, I've never heard him so angry.
Yeah,
yeah
like that. That just erupted another side of
right
the
there.
Like,
yeah,
whoa,
should it be?
There's a royal rumble in the studio today.
I think we're in the wrong studio.
Yeah.
No,
but the thing is, right? I mean, even the big banks, they have to go and apply for tenders from the government to handle the finances of
handle the bank accounts.
The bank accounts of your local municipality and so on and so forth. Your Johnson & Johnson have to apply for tenders for all these hospitals to give them a whole bunch of stuff, whether it is baby powder, cotton wool, or whatever. Now, if we don't wake up and realize that, yes, we have got to fulfill the tender once we get it, but we should definitely be in that queue, and those tenders should be given to us first, because how else are you going to get a leg up? Do you really think the private sector is waiting for you to just give you a business, unless they are forced by the government, because it affects their BE score? No ways, dude. All these BE things and affirmative action, they're not doing it because they're doing us a favor, because they care. If they don't do it, they don't get that tender from the government.
Preach!
That's it. So, you know, all this thing about nepotism and black people being made to feel bad because, heck, I'm the CEO of this company, and now as my young nephew or even my son, you are good at this particular thing, and it's a service that would help our company, and I'm giving you the business. You know what? Be damned if you say it's nepotism. It's fine. Everybody else does it too, but it's only us where the finger is pointed and we're made to feel bad, and I won't be made to feel bad anymore. I'm taking that tender, and you know what? My uncle, if he's the head of, I don't care what company it is, and he gives me a contract, good for me.
Look what you guys have done. I'm never inviting you to the studio again. So this is the angriest I've seen Russia in a minute. Wow. No, peace.
I'm sorry. Private school. I'm going back to that private school.
This one's for you.
It's for Victor.
From Kaya.
Hello, Kaya.
Hello, Kaya. She says, I'm an architectural professional, and I think our profession is very profit-driven in a sense that these sustainable off-the-grid houses are for the rich and not focusing on people who need it the most, which are the poor.
Yeah, Senzo, for you too, man.
Senzo, Victor, what do you guys say up to that?
300,000.
Quick one, because we're about to shut down now. We're about to shut this house down. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Wow. We got 4 minutes left, guys.
Okay.
Speak fast. Senzo, you first.
Oh, me first. True. Like I said, it's not something that anyone can get. But what it does is, if you have businesses, let's just say corporate,
right,
abiding to these renewable energy rules, meaning that if you know you've got a rooftop that could obviously house the solar panels, do that. Because what you're doing, essentially, we have to realize that as much as it's Eskom's problem, it's also our problem. And the time that we release the pressure, because I've always said this, people are like, oh, it's great, everyone must have solar energy. I'm like, no, I'm the first one to say no. Not everyone can have solar energy, because if everyone's not on the grid, the economy goes down, because now Eskom is non-existent.
It must go down, in my opinion. Prove your point, Vic. What do you say about that?
Look, there is truth in that, because some of the technology as we have it now is still expensive,
right?
And it's, you can't access it if you're looking for a basic house. But at the end of the day, long term, your house is much cheaper to run.
Right.
Most people don't have income once on the month consistently.
Right.
So if you're able to get your household without.
Okay, Victor needs to speak close to his mic because we're getting shouted at by the producer.
I forget this thing. Yes, yeah. At the end of the day,
what
you're saying is, it's like cell phones. When they first came out in 1995, I was there, I remember.
Yeah.
They were really big and they were really expensive. Mm. I couldn't even afford one. Mm. But the following maybe 2 years, I was like, yay, finally I'm in the game.
Yes.
Right.
And now, I mean, anyone can get a cell phone.
Yep.
Really. Yeah. Okay, I've got a question for you guys. So since you were funded, right?
Yes.
Who else are you funding? Who are you funding personally?
Who are you planning to fund, even if you're not funding them right now?
There's a guy in Durban. His name is Spa. He came up with...
What's Spa? Where's Spa? Shout out to Spa.
Actually, events. He wants to start sort of like a cycling event, but he's got a different approach to it. And then I'm keen on it, and I'm going to assist him every way I can.
So from a gentleman's shake or a contract?
I believe a gentleman's shake is worth more, but I mean, we haven't done it on contracts as yet. I mean, this is young; it's like 2 months old.
Right.
Yeah, we're still negotiating.
I think the day that we can just do gentlemen's shakes as a community, and actually, that's what it is.
The guy who built Sun City was off a gentleman's shake.
Exactly.
Can you believe it?
Okay,
Vic, you.
For me, it's more investing into
the mic, Vic.
Oh yeah, for me, it's more into investing in different businesses. I mean, for example, I've got a plant hire business. And
no ways.
And I was able to buy the plant for it to be run by someone else,
right,
who is passionate about running plants.
Right.
I'm not passionate about running plants.
Right.
So
right.
He goes out and looks for business and that kind of thing. And there's also farming that I'm getting into.
Right.
Where I'm planning to plant peach trees and
get out of
and
here.
Have quite fishes
in right. Limpopo.
Quick one, because we gotta literally get out of the studio. So, Vic, where can people find out about Posh Life if they want to buy tickets and
A website, www.poshlife.co.za. Instagram account is @poshlife_sa.
All right, there you have it.
The Instagram account is better because everything is there. All the videos and everything.
Say it again. What's the Instagram account?
@poshlife. posh, P-O-S-H underscore S-A.
All right. We're out of here.
P-O-S-H life.
Underscore S-A. Well, yeah, we're out of here because we've got to go. Goodbye. See you next time.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.